How do you do? There is no God, the skeptic says, and bitterness replies, there is a God, and he's my enemy. Those are two stages many people go through before they reach the third stage of understanding, and that's what this story is all about. A man who passed through each miserable stage until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. During tough economic times, the number of homeless people steadily increases, but Pacific Garden Mission makes room for them. The old lighthouse keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming weary and forgotten people who have fallen through the cracks of life. They receive food, showers, fresh clothing, and a safe bunk for the night, even medical and dental care if needed in the Mission Clinic. Thanks to caring friends who send financial gifts, everything is free to them. Pastors and counselors tell them the good news of God's love and His provision for their future. And that same good news goes out to the world through this program. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3036 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Walter, come here. Worth's been hit by a car.
Worth, are you all right, boy?
Oh, he's not bleeding. Just been knocked senseless.
What kind of car was it?
An old Model T. Didn't even stop.
Probably didn't even see him. But he shouldn't have been out here in the road no how.
Is he gonna be all right?
I don't see no broken bones. We can't afford to take him to no doctor, that's for sure.
First he scalds himself with hot water you have for shaving, and now this? Oh, I wish you'd give that barber business up so we could move to the country.
Might be cheaper.
Oh, be a lot safer, too.
The man in our story grew up in a poor family in the outskirts of Durham, North Carolina. This is the story of how his life came to count for something. It's the true testimony of Worth Ellis from the classic files of Unshackled.
Dad was a weaver in a cotton mill when I was born. But wages were so thin, he also ran a little barber shop as a sideline. With no plumbing in his shop, he kept shaving water hot in a converted water cooler with a piece of rubber hose for a faucet. I grabbed the hose one day and scalded myself. After the Model T hit me, we moved to a little place in the country to save money. By the time I was 7 or 8, I knew part of the reason we were really short of money.
Why are you sitting out here on the steps, Walter?
Having a drink, Ellie.
Oh, not that white lightning again.
It's cheap enough.
I don't like what it does to you.
I wish it did more.
Now, that's crazy talk.
I seen a doctor today at the mill.
About them sores on your face?
Yeah. He told me it's skin cancer, and there ain't nothing he can do about it.
These days, there are several kinds of treatment for cancer. But back then, there were none. At least none that we could afford. Dad had his own way of dealing with it, though. Every so often, he sat on the back steps with a basin of lye water that he warned me to stay clear of, and I did. But I watched as he went through unbelievable torture. You gonna put that on your face, Dad?
Yeah, soon as I get up the nerve.
What for?
Because the sores get so bad, son, that they hurt even worse than lye water.
I'm awful sorry, Dad.
Then you just hope and pray that you never get skin cancer, boy. If you ever do, nobody will ever have to tell you what hell is like.
You gonna put that stuff on now, Dad?
Reckon I got to, son. Tough it out. Yes, son. Now.
Is that bad, Daddy?
Oh, it's worse, son. You just don't know.
Won't nothing help the pain?
Oh, yeah, just one thing. This.
Well, yeah, but that stuff always makes you drunk.
Yeah, it always makes me drunk, son. And you don't know how grateful I am for that. But not drunk enough, son. And not quick enough, either.
Our family didn't have much faith, so I was about 12 when I first heard about religion. The local country church had revival meetings and gathered a bunch of us kids together and preached hellfire until I was scared out of my wits. I'd have joined anything that day to avoid the awful place they described.
How was church?
I joined up today.
You did?
Yep. Not sure I believe in God, though.
Well, then why'd you join?
Don't want to go to hell.
I believed in God once. Not sure what I believe now. Just too tired to think about it.
I threw my cigarettes away, too.
You've been smoking? Worth? Well, better not let your dad find out.
Every boy I know does, Mom.
Well, you can't afford to buy cigarettes.
Well, who says I bought them? I borrowed them.
Well, no matter who buys them, cigarettes are a waste of money. And there's never enough money around here.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he ain't home yet.
Uh-oh. You know what that means.
Yeah. You and Chris will have to go meet his bus.
I had no conviction of sin then, of absolute right and wrong. And the next morning on my way to school, I passed the spot where I'd thrown away my cigarettes, and I couldn't resist the temptation to pick them up again. I was my father's son. When Dad was drinking, my brother and I would cut through the woods a mile or so to meet the last bus at night and help him home.
Show me the way to go home.
Oh, careful, Dad.
Oh, where'd I be without my two boys?
Hey, just remember that next time you want to whoop us. We look after Mom.
She's a good woman, your mother. She deserves better than me.
Yeah, now, don't talk like that, Dad. We'll watch out for that holler.
Oh, put that there.
It's always been there, Dad.
That wasn't there this morning. We almost home.
Yeah, almost. I see the light in the window.
I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
When Dad was drinking, times were hard for us. But it was almost as bad when he was sober because then he worried about money. And he'd get so frugal we hardly had enough to eat. But sooner or later, he'd be back out on the back steps again with the whiskey and lye water. And all the money he'd saved would go for corn liquor. I went into a phase where I hated being with other people, and school was unbearable. My solution to that resulted in regular visits to the principal's office.
Is that you waiting out there, Worth Ellis?
Yes, sir.
Well, come on in the office. Let's hear what's wrong this time. Sit down, Worth. We might as well be comfortable, even if we can't be happy. Well?
Well, what?
You know what? You weren't sent down here for nothing, were you?
No, sir. I was reading a magazine behind my geography book.
What magazine, Worth?
This one.
I see. What's that stuffed inside your shirt there?
That? Oh, another magazine.
Fork it over.
Yes, sir.
Got any more?
No, sir.
In your desk, maybe?
My desk? Yes, sir.
You're quite a reader, aren't you?
Reckon I am.
But always fiction. And cheap fiction at that. Tell me something, Worth. What do you have against facts, like the kind your teacher tries to put in your head?
Well, sir, I
read enough for five boys, Worth, but it doesn't mean anything. When your teacher tries to slip in a little knowledge, you make her laugh miserable. Isn't that so?
Reckon so.
I know so. If you ever expect to get out of the ninth grade, you're going to have to mend your ways.
I found another way to get out of the ninth grade. I quit school and got a job at a lumber mill. And each week, I gave Mama 90% of what I made. I worked 55 hours a week, a fact that sank into my head and stuck. It didn't take me long to realize there were some things worse in school. So at the beginning of the next term, I walked into my old classroom and sat down in my old seat. And an hour later, I was in the principal's office.
Well, Worth, what are you doing back here?
I came back to see if I could learn something.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
So you're not here to pester the teachers again?
No, sir. I mean it.
Maybe you do. Well, son, if you really mean business, you can go on up to the 10th grade. We'll see how you and Miss Chandler get along.
That was a turning point in my attitude toward education. Miss Chandler was one of the kindest people I've ever known. And there's no telling how things might have worked out, except for the big depression and my dad's problems. In the spring, I dropped out of school again to join the Civilian Conservation Corps. And once again, I gave 90% of my pay to help the family. But the few dollars I kept were enough to buy my way into a debilitating pastime. Oh, man! That's it for me. Man, I thought this was my lucky day. Instead, I lost it all. Why did I ever get started on this game? I was hooked on playing poker. But again and again, I found myself peeking at my hold card and going broke. After training for the CCC in Georgia, we were transferred to Durham, North Carolina, 3 miles from home. By then, I was in full rebellion against God. I saw religious people as my special victims, and I had nothing but scorn for them and God.
Very shortly, we'll hear how this played out. We have received disturbing letters from listeners in the Middle East saying poor people are being paid large sums of money to convert from their faith in the Lord. Some have even been jailed for being married to an infidel, a non-Muslim. One listener says, "We need the light of the gospel here, and Unshackled is spreading that light." From Syria, this person writes, "I do not know how to tell you in words the peace that came to my life when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And this man writes, "I'm an Iraqi living in Syria. Listening to Unshackled, we found a place of comfort and rest near to the heart of the God you preach in Unshackled." This man writes, "I am a born-again Christian. I came to know Christ through Unshackled. Keep proclaiming the Word of God." To learn more about this ministry to Muslims or to have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Being so close to home, I got to see my family. They were glad to see me too, all except for my sister, who is now a Christian. So I gave her a hard time.
"Worth, I'll be gone till about 10 o'clock, and you have to be back at camp before then, so I'll say goodbye to you now."
"Okay, Annie. And be sure you come home sober."
"Oh, you know I don't drink, Worth."
"Oh, sure. I know you say you're going to church."
"Oh, never you mind. That's where I'm going, and I wish you'd go with me."
"And listen to a lot of fairy tales? Anybody with any sense knows they aren't true."
"What's got into you, Worth?"
"Common sense, most likely."
"It isn't common sense to turn your back on God and His Word. Jesus came into the world because of our sins. They were so bad that we could never be acceptable to God. Jesus died for you, Worth. His death was the only atonement that God could accept for our sins. We couldn't ever pay the penalty ourselves."
"Sin? I think you believe anything you read, just as long as they put it in a black leather binding. Them's fairy tales."
"Don't mock the Bible, Worth. Your sins and mine nailed Jesus to the cross."
"Well, you have it your way, Annie. I have it mine. But I'm surprised there's an Ella stupid enough to believe what you do." I had a high opinion of myself. Maybe that's what gave me the courage to talk the way I did that first night I met Dorothy. We were at a party at the neighbor's house. And I'd always been sort of shy around girls, but something about Dot was real special. So I got enough courage to walk her home.
"Nice party, wasn't it?"
"Sure was."
"I never did see you dance."
"Well, I'm not much for dancing."
"Why not?"
"Don't know how."
"I thought everybody knew how to dance."
"Not me. I must have been learning to play poker when I should have been learning to dance."
"That doesn't sound like much fun."
"No, it's fun all right. Kind of gets in your blood."
"Well, all right. I live right here."
"You do, huh?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Well, listen, I want to tell you something, Doc."
"What?"
"I'm going to marry you."
"What? I don't even know you, Worth Ellis."
"Well, you will, because I'm going to marry you." We began dating, and when the government job interfered with my social life, I refused to work, so they quickly discharged me. I found another job in a cotton mill, but when I slipped outside to smoke, they fired me. I wanted so much to marry Dot, but I didn't even have enough money for the license. So I borrowed a few dollars and gambled until I won enough to go to the courthouse and buy a wedding license. And then I borrowed my brother's car.
Worth Ellis, what are you doing in your brother's car?
Come here and find out.
You sure seem awful excited about something.
I am excited, Dot. We're gonna get married.
Well, I know that, Worth. You told me so often I started to believe you.
No, I mean right now. Today.
Did you find another job or something?
Well, something like it. Anyhow, I got myself some money, and I just bought the license.
You did? You really mean it? You really mean it, don't you?
Of course I do. Now jump in. Let's go. Dot was very young and didn't really know the kind of fellow I was, but she soon found out. We were opposites. She was a stickler for doing what was right, while I didn't care what happened as long as I had my own way. She soon realized she had made a bad decision by marrying me.
Where is that husband of mine? He said he'd be home by now.
Hi, honey.
Oh, don't you honey me. Where have you been, Worth?
With friends.
Playing poker again?
So?
That's all you do. When are you going to go and get a job?
I'm looking, Dot, every day.
Well, looking isn't enough, Worth. You need to get one, and soon, because we're going to have a baby.
A baby?
Yes, a baby. And babies need special care and diapers and a washing machine to wash them.
I'll get a job, Dot. I promise. But I continued to gamble, and we continued to live in two rented rooms. When our baby was born, they couldn't even find me because I was playing cards with a bunch of other gambling addicts. As soon as I got the word, I rushed to the hospital.
You have a daughter, Worth?
No fooling, Annie.
Oh, we looked everywhere for you.
Yeah, I was with friends.
Playing cards.
Well, don't start with that, Annie.
You have a family to consider now, Worth. Why don't you quit gambling?
Why don't you mind your own business? I'm gonna go see my wife.
Turn your life over to Jesus, Worth. He'll help you.
I knew I should quit gambling, but how? The hope of winning big is as much an addiction as drinking. Even so, I tried. After our baby girl was born, I went into the pipe-fitting trade and worked steadily, too. But most of the money still went for gambling. And then God got my attention. A second baby was born to us, a son. When he was 3 months old and suffering with croup, the doctor came and left. His concern scared me, and I stood at the baby's crib arguing with myself. Worth, you're the biggest fool in the city of Durham. Why don't you admit there's God? Then you could ask him to spare your baby. That's crazy. I know better than that. I am not superstitious. He's fighting for his breath. Are you too proud to ask God to help? No. I don't believe you're up there, God. Even if you are, you don't have anything to do with this. If he lives, he lives. If he dies, he dies. No thanks to me, the baby lived. And I carried on with my addiction to gambling. In early 1944, my brother Bud, who was a senior in high school, enlisted in the Marines. At the end of June, I was hanging out on the corner, hoping to find a poker game, when my brother-in-law came down the street looking for me.
Worth, you better come home right away.
Why?
Read this.
Telegram? Who's from?
Read it.
We deeply regret to inform you, PFC Arnold Ellis was killed in the line of duty while serving his country. Not Bud. He just went in 6 months ago. It's got to be a mistake.
It's no mistake, Worth. Come on home. Everybody's there.
Oh.
I'm glad he found you, Worth. I was afraid you'd be off somewhere playing cards.
Never mind about me. What about that God of yours? I thought you and Mom prayed for Arnold.
We did, Worth. Every day.
Well, if that's the kind of God he is, I don't want nothing to do with him. You hear? What kind of God is that?
Oh, Worth, please.
I got along without him so far. And I can live without him from now on, too.
Worth?
Yeah?
Mind if I come in?
Yeah, come on.
Worth, it could have been worse.
Will you tell me how?
It could have been you, Worth, and you'd be in hell.
After that, I never shed a tear. But I began to die inside, mourning my brother's death constantly. I lay awake for hours at night, remembering him, feeling guilty that he was dead and I was still alive, and then remembering what my sister had said.
It could have been you, Worth. You, and you'd be in hell.
That went on for months. The most heartbreaking time of my life. I now wanted to believe in my sister's God, but did he want me? And then one morning at work, I suddenly began to cry. Ashamed of the tears, I fled to an empty room. And there, all the bitterness drained away. I dropped to my knees and began to pray. Now, I'd never prayed before in my life. I didn't know one verse of the Bible. It was just me and God and a broken and repentant heart.
God, you win. You hear me? You win. I've never believed before, but I do now. I believe that you're up there. God, please, let me die right here on my knees. I don't deserve to live. I've had all I can stand. I don't want to live anymore.
Today's payday. I thought sure you'd find a card game somewhere.
Never again, honey. Today I took a chance on something new.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
God.
God?
I believe in him now. For months I thought God was my enemy, but I know better now.
What changed your mind?
I told you. I took a chance. I prayed because I was so miserable. And as soon as I finished praying, I knew that he heard me and he cared. I feel quiet and peaceful inside now.
Oh, Worth, God loves you, honey.
I'm beginning to realize that.
Does that mean you'll go to church with me?
Yes. And I'm going to start reading the Bible.
Oh, Worth, this is just the best news I've heard in years.
Why in the world would God love me? I read the Bible as fervently as I had once read fiction. And I began to understand that God did love me, especially as I listen to the pastor's sermons.
Folks, you want to know what God is like?
Yes, yes, yes.
Take a good look at Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father."
Amen.
God is love. God is light. God is healing and hope.
Amen.
Jesus went around healing the lame and the blind and the deaf. And that's you and me when we were lost, isn't it?
Yes.
Lame, blind, and deaf.
Yes.
God has to open our eyes to his goodness. Open our ears to his truth, his word. We have to be born again. Listen to me now. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God wants to adopt you so that you can become his son. But first, he has to clean you up because you're covered with filth from your sins. And he says the penalty for sin is death. So Jesus paid the penalty for you. That's the gospel, friends. Christ died for your sins so you could be a child of God and go to heaven.
I repented often before God's throne for the way I'd lived and asked him to save me and to give me a new life. He did. For 9 years after my conversion, I stayed at my job and studied the Bible so I could follow the Lord. And then I felt drawn toward preaching and I obeyed. After 2 years, I felt called to evangelism. The weight of my sin was so great, I wanted to die. My first prayer was that God would let me die right there, and he did. He let me die to myself so I could live for him. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why Jesus died for your sins. He loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Won't you step out in faith and trust Jesus with your life? He offers forgiveness for the past, help for today, and hope for the future. He's waiting to save you, to give you eternal life in heaven with him. Now, what are you waiting for? Come now and let him set you free. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listening friend, you too can have new life when you put your trust in the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. There is no special prayer because God looks on the heart. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Bible says that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Wherever you are, you can ask God to save you. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Where would you be without these inspiring stories? Keep them on the air where you live by letting this station know that you listen, write, or call to say, keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3036. Heard in the classic true story of Worth Ellis were Howard Friedland, Gary Brachetto, Jamie Newell, Jeff Lupitan, Chuck McLennan, and Karen Anglin. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Arthur Rids. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. The script was by Kenitha Gabler and Jack O'Dell. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.